Now on BBC Radio 4, it's that time of the week when Nicholas Parsons says...
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program this week four talented and exciting personalities who are going to play Just a Minute. And seated on my right, we are pleased and delighted to welcome back that highly talented and original comedian Paul Merton, and sitting beside him another original, the veteran of the show and quite provocative player of the game, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left we have that delightful, enchanting comedian and writer, author, that is Jenny Eclair. And beside her sits somebody who's done so many things, actor, writer, speaker, and of course ex-politician, that is Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. I just realised something. This is the first time on the show we've actually had two ex-members of Parliament. It's a first, isn't it? Couldn't care less, could you? Let's carry on. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And sitting beside me is Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Kenton Theatre in Henley, Henley-on-Thames, which is in that wonderful county of Oxfordshire. And so... And sitting in front of us, we have a keen, enthusiastic audience all dying for us to start. So we begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is Making Waves. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I love Berkshire. I think it's a wonderful county. Now, there's an example of making waves, because you say to an Oxfordshire audience that you particularly like somewhere else, they might get all uppity because there's local rivalry involved. Making waves is also another thing you can do when you jump off the top deck of a swimming pool. Not swimming pools, have decks. Diving board.
Clement, you...
Repetition of swimming pool.
That's right, a repetition of swimming pool.
Oh, was there?
Yes, there was. And, and Clement, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. And you have 43 seconds available to talk on Making Waves, starting now.
For those watching on radio, I am now making waves. My left arm is swiveling around my head, whereas the right one... is waving from left to right.
Giles, you've challenged.
Deviation and hesitation.
Why? Which do you want, anyway, first?
Well, I want deviation, first of all. He wasn't waving anything anywhere, and I was watching... I was watching on radio.
Actually, yes, you can have him. That's a correct challenge, because he said he was waving his arms, and he did not actually wave his arms. I know the listeners couldn't see that, but we do have...
But I think he was.
Under the table.
You like to be provocative, do you? Like that fellow.
The listeners at home don't know. Yeah. Let's play with their minds.
Well, no, we're going to get them thinking on this one. But Giles, yes, you have a correct challenge there. So you take over the subject. You have a point, of course. You have 30 seconds. Making waves, starting now.
As Mrs. Parker Bowles, Camilla has been making waves for many years. But as the Duchess of Cornwall, she is making waves.
Oh, Jenny, you've challenged.
As the.
You did two as's there.
Yes, I wouldn't have just done on the as. No. But it was a repetition of both together.
There were two words, yes. We don't usually bother with very small words, but two together, Jenny. Mm. So it's a point to you, a challenge. I don't know if that was for Jenny's preening before she starts or whether it was just a reaction to the challenge. I don't know. Anyway, there's 24 seconds available. Making waves, Jenny, starting now.
Women wake waves in there. There's a speech affliction you shouldn't... I can't even say that. You shouldn't penalise me for that.
She wasn't waving her hand, she was waving her teeth after she'd taken them out.
No, you didn't really get started.
It was a poor start.
A poor challenge, yes.
A very, very bad start. Well, that lets down women everywhere.
She had a hesitation. So, Paul, you have 22 seconds on Making Waves, starting now.
If you look out towards sea late at night, just off the coast of Morocco, you will see the most extraordinary thing. A sea monster rises out of the ocean and waves at you in the most extraordinary fashion. You could be in your hotel room, perhaps drinking a balcony on the cocktail.
Yes, Judgment Day.
Jars, you're challenged.
Well, I think a little deviation.
Why?
The man's beginning to drink his furniture. I mean,
no, balcony is a cocktail. And cocktail is slang
it's
for
bar. It's
certainly
a stiff one, yes.
You can't exactly drink a balcony. I mean, no. It could be a new form of cocktail, but he didn't establish that. Mm. So we give you the benefit of the doubt, Giles, and the subject, and you've got him with 2 seconds to go.
Oh, fiendish.
And you start. You haven't won any friends with the challenge, but you've got 2 seconds and a point, and you start now.
If you're royalty, the best way to make waves...
challenge.
There was hesitation there.
As they clapped, I will give you a point for that. You've still got the subject, another point, and 1.5 seconds on making waves starting now.
Take the right hand, raise it above you.
So at the end of, oh, by the way, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Giles Brandreth, and the other ones in that round, he's taken a strong lead at the end of the first round. And Jenny, we'd like
I'm
you
pointless
to... No, we'd
so
like
far.
You to take the next round.
Oh, right, thank you.
And the subject is how to spot a cheat. So, no, darling, listen. Take a, take a deep breath. Get poised and start now.
I think that students should be forced to sit examinations in their vests and pants. Therefore, any revision notes scribbled in biro on their limbs would be obvious to the juror's naked eye. That's a good idea. And I also reckon, if you're playing Conkers, sniff your opponent's shiny brown orb in case he's dipped it in vinegar, thereby hardening the thing and creating an unfair advantage. Here's a way of spotting a love cheat. Has he lipstick on his collar or reek of some...
Poor challenge.
Some of these words are getting awfully long. Collar.
Yes. You are dragging
Is English your first language, Jenny?
I mean,
you know what I mean,
I just
Nicholas.
Want
no, she hasn't played the game for a while, and she's not only struggling a little bit, she's also
emotionally disturbed.
I think.
And also, perimenopausal, give me a break.
No. I think she's finding another way to play the game without actually cheating. But I do think you should speed up a little, Jenny. But go to your normal speech, which should be more acceptable. But I therefore will give you the benefit of the doubt, so you have a point for a wrong challenge.
Yes.
And you still have how to spot a cheat. And you start... Oh, a number of seconds. 19, starting now.
I loathe cheats, although I will admit the only reason why I passed my 11+ is that I was sitting behind Melanie Sibor and I could see over her shoulder and therefore check my multiple choice answers. Ha, that's not cheating, it's just checking. I think... Yeah, I did.
Paul,
I did.
Yes.
You're right, Paul.
Was it a repetition of checking?
Well, I think she'll check once and then checking the other
yes,
time.
Yes, I said checking.
Oh, was it not?
Checking.
Okay.
Check the first time and checking
then
the
second
time.
Don't
tell him.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm challenging.
I'm sorry, it's too late now. He's challenged on that one. So you can't have a secondary challenge. So Jenny, unfortunately, for a wrong challenge, gets another point. It was hesitation, but it's too late now. 4 seconds to go, Jenny, on that subject, starting now.
Footballers are the most appalling cheats. They're forever falling over and creating their...
So, Jenny, if I started with the subject, and actually finished with it as well, and gained the extra point for speaking as a whistle went, so she's now equal with Giles Brandreth in the lead. And, Giles, it's your turn to begin. The subject is China. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
My obsession with China began many years ago when I was at school, not in the geography class, but during the English lesson, when I was introduced to the character who is the Chinese waiter in King Lear, summoned on with the line, "Come hither, ho." It was then that I realized there has been a conspiracy in this country to introduce the things that are coming from China for many generations. Every Oriental restaurant in the land, I was told by my father, is in fact a communist cell where the kitchen staff are secret agents, and the messages are brought in fortune cookies. The line, Ying Tong Tiddly Po.
Giles, you just challenged yourself. Whoever presses their buzzer first, the
I'm
right
one of them as an autodidact. I'm so sorry.
So, Giles, as you've challenged yourself, I have to ask you, what was your challenge?
It was a false challenge. It was so unfair, I think you should give me an extra point.
If you have a legitimate challenge, I could...
I have no legitimate challenge. It's just I'm so excited sitting next to Jenny that it just sort of got carried away. Now I shouldn't be holding on to this thing.
You're giving me an impossible situation because...
Well, who are you going to give the subject to if you give it against Giles?
That's what I was trying to work out.
Yeah,
I can't ask all three of them to speak at once. Giles, you've got 28 seconds. No points scored in that situation. China's the subject starting now.
In our family, we have an old collection of china. Some of it is Meissen. We actually have had a lot of money in our time.
Clement, you challenge.
Meissen isn't china. No. It's German porcelain.
Yes, he's right.
Your erudition not only gained you a point, but a big round of applause, and the subject, and 23 seconds, Clement, on China, starting now.
China is rhyming slang for, I think, monosodium glutamate. But I can't remember. It could just be a friend. I have been to China on a number of occasions in a parliamentary delegation in the 1970s, and this is really boring, as are such deputies.
Giles challenged.
I think there was a little hesitation.
A little hesitation, yes. So you got the subject back. But you said no.
No, maybe. I was saying it was a little hesitation as a courtesy, but you're right, it was quite a considerable hesitation.
Yeah, but 3 seconds on China, Giles, starting now.
What?
Paul challenged.
Quite a little hesitation there, yeah, I thought.
Another point to you, Paul, and China, 2 seconds starting now.
I well remember the very first time.
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle when gained an extra point. Others in the round, he's now 1 point alongside Jenny Eclair, 1 point behind Giles Brandreth, who's in the lead. And Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the perfect cup of tea. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
If the subject were the perfect cup for tea, I might mention Meissen, which is a German porcelain and makes extremely good ware for the consumption of drinks and beverages of all kinds. But being the perfect cup of tea, I think one should talk about China, India, and Sri Lanka, which are tremendous sources for tea leaves of all kinds. In Konya, there is a quite brilliant kind of tea.
Jenny challenge.
Two kinds. I know it's unkind of me, but he used kind twice.
Yes, it was kind, the different kinds of tea. Right. Correct challenge. Well,
yeah,
listen,
it's called
Jenny.
Repetition.
Yes, repetition.
I repeated kind.
That's right. Yes, you did.
And well I spotted it.
So I get a point.
30 seconds available, Jenny. The perfect cup of tea, starting now.
The perfect cup of tea is brought to me in bed by a semi-naked Brad Pitt on a silver tray with an accompanying...
Paul challenge.
You'd never get Brad Pitt on a silver tray.
I didn't know that splitting hairs was one of the things.
No, it isn't, but it's the humour.
Have you never had any achievement in your life, Jenny, that you're so desperate to win this show?
No, but humour is important and valuable to the show. And, Paul, your interruption was delightful. The audience enjoyed it, so we give you a bonus point for that. But Jenny was interrupted, so she gets a point for the interruption. She keeps the subject, the perfect cup of tea, 22 seconds, starting now.
It depends on my mood. Some days I wake up and think Earl Grey, weak and black, as I enjoy my men. No sugar, slice of lemon, if you can be bothered.
Paul challenge.
Well, Brad Pitt's neither weak or black. Deviation. So basically, she fancies anybody who brings her a cup of tea.
Yeah.
So, what is your challenge?
Well, it's deviation. She said she liked Brad Pitt.
And I will accept that because you established first that your perfect person was Brad Pitt, and now he's gone to some other.
Is a girl not allowed to change her mind?
But in just a minute, you have to justify the change and say that if Brad Pitt wasn't available, then you would have gone for the other. Or something like that.
That was going to be my next sentence. As long as it's not Paul bringing me a cup of tea anyway, I don't care.
Oh. No, we don't have enmity in this show. We have Paul, we give you the benefit of the doubt, and you have 13 seconds. Tell us something about the perfect cup of tea, starting now.
I tried to bring Jenny the perfect cup of tea once, but I couldn't get past Brad Pitt and all these weak black men who are just up there fighting upstairs. The perfect cup of tea, as far as I'm concerned, is a bag of green tea. I love this particular...
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle wen gained that extra point, as well as others in the round. And now he's taken the lead, just one ahead of Jenny, who's one ahead of Giles, who's two ahead of Clement. That is the sequence as, Paul, you begin the next round. And the subject now is junk. Tell us something about junk in this game, starting now.
I suppose junk is outdoor clutter, in the same way that the aforementioned stuff is indoor junk. I suppose it's one of those things... Oh, I said suppose twice.
Jenny challenge.
She supposes.
Yeah, she supposed too much.
Yeah, it wasn't very good, was it?
Yeah, no, it was poor.
You think I'd know better after all these years, didn't you?
Jenny, you have 53 seconds on junk, starting now.
I keep a lot of junk in a lock-up garage in Camberwell. The items include a sink, some baths, tiles, old magazines, a rusty racing bike, loads of...
This is turning to the generation game. What's going on here? List of objects. Well, I don't believe you've got three baths in a lock-up garage.
Sorry to interrupt you, but Giles' light came on first.
Oh, did it?
I have to give him the challenge.
Yes, there was hesitation.
No, there was no hesitation.
Oh, wasn't there?
No. No, she was kidding.
No, there wasn't. No hesitation from Jenny. There was hesitation from you in realising that I was the person who buzzed, and it wasn't.
All right, Giles, your quick wit gains you a bonus point, but Jenny was interrupted, so she gets a point for that. She still has junk, and there are 41 seconds, Jenny, starting now.
Junk is the name of a novel written, I believe, by an author called Melvin Burgess, which won an award for...
Clement Challenge.
And there was hesitation.
Yes, there was a hesitation
and
on the word there.
And a stumble and a stutter.
A stumble,
it was a mess.
It was interpreted as hesitation. So, Clement, you have the subject of junk. You have 35 seconds, starting now.
Junk is the only word I can think of containing the letters J, U, N, and K. But I do challenge anyone to think of...
Paul, challenge.
Junks. you say four of them.
I think that's a very clever challenge.
Yeah, so do I.
Yes. and so you have the subject, you have a point, of course, 25 seconds, junk, starting now.
On Paul McCartney's first solo album after the Beatles split up, there was a song called Junk. In fact, there was two versions. There was another one called Sing-Along Junk, which had words to the aforementioned instrumental. And it was a very beautiful piece of music, and Mr. Macca showed that not only was he a great songwriter, but even though he'd left behind the biggest group in the world, he could strike out on his own and his music wouldn't be junk. Oh no, he was a hit that...
So Paul, taking junk and going with panache, kept going to the whistle, gained an extra point, and he's still in the lead, one ahead of Jenny and two ahead of Giles and three ahead of Clement. And Jenny, we're back with you to start. The subject now is hypnotists. Hypnotists. 60 seconds, starting now.
Do you know what? I once had my breasts enlarged by a hypnotist for a show that Jonathan Ross presented on television. This is true. Can't you see? They're miraculous.
Paul Challenge.
Deviation, miraculous was a bit funny.
It was rather deviation from English, as we understand it. I think she, with demonstrations she was giving to the audience about her breasts, was actually worthy of the stumble. But, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have 52 seconds, hypnotist, starting now.
I, too, appeared on the Jonathan Ross show, and I was hypnotised and thinking I have magnificent breasts. And look at them, aren't they gorgeous? Don't you like them, lady? You see the way they're sort of quite pert, aren't they, for somebody my age? When I was walking through the park once, I came across a hypnotist who looked me sorely in the eye and said, I am going to make you think you are a duck. And he hypnotised me, and within moments, I was quacking all over the place. It was the most extraordinary exhibition I've ever seen in my life. One of the great...
Giles, challenge.
Deviation. You would not be able to see your own exhibition unless you had a mirror nearby.
It was videoed. It was for a TV programme called That's My Duck. Where celebrities are hypnotised as ducks, can you remember? Do you remember, Nicholas? You were a mallard for 6 months. Do you remember?
I know, we had that amazing affair because you were the duck.
Yeah. Right, please.
Well, it wasn't that amazing, to be honest.
When you said, I suppose the quick duck's out of the question.
Right. Oh, you've let yourself down,
Charles. Did he put it on your bill?
Giles, he didn't establish that he saw it on television later, and so, correctly, yours is a correct challenge. Correctly, yours is a correct challenge. Sorry, that's a bit of tautology, isn't it? You did have a correct challenge, and so you have the subject, 27 seconds, hypnotist, starting now.
The only hypnotist I know personally is Uri Geller, the man who uses...
Clement Challenge.
I know Uri Geller, and he's not a hypnotist.
Oh! Oh! Oh, but he has recently been telling us how he hypnotised Michael Jackson, and indeed he has hypnotised me, which is how I know I'm not guilty.
He lied.
If we allow people who tell lies to all the lies to be actual facts, we'll never get anywhere in just a minute. Because I've talked to Giorgi once and twice, and he does claim to do hypnosis. So whether he claims he's a hypnotist, it doesn't matter. He does hypnosis, and that's sufficient. So Giles, an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject. You have 23 seconds. Hypnotist starting now.
Curiously, when I had a pain in my hip, I went to a hypnotist, thinking that maybe if he waved in front of me the magic watch...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of hypnotist.
Hypnotist. Oh,
I
yes.
Think, isn't hypnotist the word on
no,
the card?
No, no, hypnotists.
Yes.
Yes.
As in junk and junks.
Yes.
Hypnotists and tists.
No, no, that was quite different. He got in rather cleverly on that.
Oh, yes, he did. No, I'm not.
This is the point.
If I were a better hypnotist, he wouldn't have gone in at all. I've been working quite hard.
But Clement's played the game a lot. He spots these things quickly, and he's got in there with 17 seconds on hypnotist starting now.
I think there's something hugely...
Paul.
Hesitation.
Yes, you've got hypnotist now, and you have 15 seconds starting now.
I've been hypnotised to attack the person next to me whenever I hear a buzzer sound, so it would be in Clement's best interest not to buzz at any point.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of buzz.
Buzz and buzzer?
He said buzz and buzzer.
I pressed my buzzer before he got ER.
Oh, Clement, that deserves a bonus point. Give him a bonus point for that, but it was an incorrect challenge, so Paul has another point. He has 6 seconds. Hypnotist starting now.
Paul McKenna is a world-famous hypnotist who claims all sorts of things. You can go to him and say, I want to be cured of smoking.
At the end of the round, Paul Merton has increased his lead. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, going to the zoo. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
So, seeking for further amusement, they paid and went into the zoo, where there are lions and tigers and camels, and good ale and sandwiches, too. There was one great big lion called Wallace, whose nose was all covered in scars. He lay in a recumbent posture, with his nose alongside the bars. Now, Albie had heard about the great animals of the forest, that they were ferocious and wild, and seeing one lying so still there didn't seem right to the child. So straightway the...
I'd love to have the rest of the poem, so I'm only asking for the point, and then I'd like to hear the rest of the poem, but lion has been repeated.
No. Lions has been repeated, but we're also impressed.
But I love the poem.
No, we had lion, lions, and lion.
Yeah. And that's right. And so it wasn't a great... We love here the Stanley Holloway's famous monologue, which you're doing.
Never done so well.
Never done so well.
Nor with such native
intelligence. Mind you, it was much better when it had a North Country accent, but it doesn't matter, it's maybe not up his street.
Nicholas, can you do a North Country accent?
You are so wicked. I'll come over there and thump you if you're not careful. So cut that out.
I'll take that as a note then, shall I?
Right, Clement, you have an incorrect challenge. You have another point. You have 27 seconds going to the zoo starting now.
My nanny used to take me to the zoo, and because it cost 3 and 6 pence, we had to stay there for the whole afternoon. I joined the Royal Zoological Society in order to take my children to the zoo, where we stayed for half an hour, having visited a goldfish or possibly a sociable eagle. It was a far better...
Jenny challenge.
Well, a goldfish in a zoo?
Yeah.
Deviation?
No.
Do they have goldfish?
Regent's Park Zoo.
Are they fighting goldfish?
No, it's the best goldfish collection in Europe.
I didn't know. I'm sorry, Clement.
Oh. Don't apologise.
I must go and see the goldfish in the zoo. How exciting.
That's a pretty good attempt. Yes, we publicised the fact. I'm sure they'll be queuing up now to see the goldfish in the zoo. So, Clement, another incorrect challenge. 5 seconds going to the zoo, starting now.
It was often difficult to get into that place because of the many out-of-work actresses.
So, Clement Freud, with a number of points in that round, including one for Speak and Sir Wessel Wendt, has increased his position, leapt forward, and we're moving into the final round. Anyway, let us give you the situation as we move into the final round. Jenny Eclair, who did so well to start with, her flourish is waning a little, but she's still there, and she's got a lot of points, and we've heard from her a lot, but she's only just... in fourth place. She's just behind Giles Brandreth, who is 2 points behind Clement Freud, and is 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead. And Paul, you begin this last round. The subject is the boomerang. So tell us something about the boomerang, starting now.
As the old school playground joke goes, what do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back? A stick. But a boomerang that you throw successfully that returns to you is a wonderful thing. Invented by the Aborigines in Australia, of course, it's not often thought of as a hunting weapon, but it has been used as such. It's more of a kind of... Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Grounds of challenge.
But thank you for applauding, in fact.
Leading to not knowing what he was talking about. So hesitation,
whichever you want. 43 seconds per Giles. Tell us something about the boomerang, starting now.
The late, great Derek Nimmo introduced me to the actress Miss Evelyn Lay, known as Boo, who was famous for her meringues. The boomerang that she served in her dressing room on matinee days was something to be tasted and reveled in. It was light and fluffy, as was she. And I have to say, when she took me over to see her friend Dame Barbara Carter, we had a different kind of confection, and it wasn't as tasty, though it had an Australian tang to it. Rolf Harris, who is shortly going to be doing a portrait of Her Majesty the Queen, takes with him everywhere he goes the boomerang that comes from his native Australia. What a remarkable person he is, being able to turn this weapon of war into an instrument that has given pleasure to so many. Of course, I use the language loosely. He's my...
So Giles Brandreth cleverly kept going just to the whistle, but gained the extra point because he spoke as the whistle went. And I give you the final situation. Jenny Eclair finished in a very strong fourth position. No, it's a contribution. The applause from the audience endorse what you contributed, Jenny. And it's very interesting, because then, just in second place, equal were Giles Brandreth and Clement Freud, and they were 1 point behind Paul Merton. So, Paul, you're the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Giles Brandreth and Clement Freud. I also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so well. We are grateful to our producer, who is Claire Jones, and we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we are very indebted to this lovely audience here at the Kenton Theatre in Henley-on-Thames. So from them and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
At the same time next Monday, Nicholas Parsons is joined by Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Rob Brydon, and Chris Neal.